Good morning, I'm Bridget Van Kralingen, and I know many of you, and this year I'm building a new business for Ginny called Industry Platforms, which we are very excited about the market opportunity that this has for IBM. So I want to bring you down to the ground now, down to absolute base level, because what we're talking about with Industry Platforms is putting our cognitive, our cloud, and our blockchain capabilities into the more boring, undifferentiated back office processes that run industries around the world. This is about a $1 trillion market opportunity to put cognitive and cloud into industry processes and to offer them as a platform, a business process as a service platform, a software as a service platform, or an API or marketplace platform for developers to use. Now, I want to just think about this in plain English, and I'd ask you to think about this using an analogy of the TV industry. 50 years ago, you could choose any of your favorite programs so long as they were Johnny Carson and Leave It to Beaver. And ABC and CBC, that's all they did, because it was just uneconomical to provide anything more narrow to smaller audiences. You needed massive audiences to justify the costs. It was only much, much later, through streaming, through video, through channel programming, that they were able to come up with really refined, narrow, economical audience segments because of the new technology that came from cable and so forth. And suddenly, we could watch the whim of our choice. Yours might be wine, yours might be exercise, my personal favorite is zombies, okay? We were able to narrow and make this economic through the technology. And as TV is to your viewing and those audiences, industry platforms is to our clients' back office processes. Because up to now, for most of our clients' back office processes, unless it was a large, common, horizontal stripe like human resources, finance, or generic supply chain, it was not served up top to bottom on technology. It was just not economical to take those small industry vertical slices of process and embed them with technology. People couldn't afford to do it. With cognitive and with blockchain, this becomes possible and affordable. And we have CEOs around the world saying, take those back office processes and help me run them. But I don't want to buy the components separately. I don't want to buy security separately, cognitive or blockchain separately. I want you to pre-integrate and serve those business processes up for me as a solution. And that is the market opportunity that industry platforms is going after. Only IBM has the set of technologies and the platforms to integrate to meet those business process requirements. And you heard about this from David and John throughout the morning. The cognitive process capability, the Watson and platform analytic capability, and the secure scalable infrastructure. That's what people need in their back office. That's the market we're focused on. Now, we're going about this in a very disciplined way. We're focusing on a very select few industries, starting with financial services, which I'll touch on, and we're using blockchain as our core process engine. So firstly, financial services. Why financial services? Well, of that $1 trillion, financial services is $900 billion. Financial services CEOs tell me they're in a pincer-like grip. On the one hand, commoditizing margins through fintech and through lower cost of trades. ROIs in the industry are less than 10%. At the same time, fintechs are pushing client investment and client-facing technology, so these firms have to invest more in client-facing experience, and they're scrambling to do that. Whilst they face cumbersome back-office and middle-office processes, except for a few big horizontal processes, there is a lot of manual middle-office in the industry, and it's all overlaid with the cost of regulation and compliance, which costs about $100 billion a year for the industry. It's because of that pincer, our clients are saying, we need help. We are prepared to take some processes, if you can embed them with technology, cognitive and cloud, and please provide us some solutions. That's the market and the business we are building. And we're starting off with regulation and compliance. Why is that? Regulation and compliance is ideally suited to cognitive. It's expertise and it's domain-driven. It ideally fits those long-tail, narrow industry processes which aren't of scale. It needs judgment. It needs wisdom, it needs knowledge, and it has to be mapped into every core process in the industry. There'll be 300 million pages of regulation by 2020 that organizations have to map into their business processes. 40,000 changes a year. No human being, no matter how great they are, can keep up with that. So Ginny's a third. No human being can actually be optimal in risk and compliance at the moment. It is so complex. And it's so costly, $250 billion in fines. So in order to acquire this domain expertise, we acquired Promontory. It's, as Ginny said, the world's leading regulation and compliance consulting and business process outsourcing firm. Eminence in the industry. When we actually acquired it, not only did many, many CEOs reach out to me and Jean, their CEO of Promontory, but actually many regulators, because they all know they need a system that requires cognitive. Huge support of endorsement of this idea of putting cognitive in this set of processes, which touches every other core process, which then again, of course, gives us opportunity. So we have built four key solutions that solve the problems in the industry. Firstly, regulatory change management, the ability to identify and map to each organization which of the regulatory changes are relevant to them, what are their legal and regulatory obligations, and have they indeed complied. We can do that now through a cognitive process, not manually. Secondly, the idea of know your customer. This is a very time-consuming but absolutely critical process for the industry in terms of the veracity of their clients, both individual and corporate. The speed of doing this and the basis for making decisions is absolutely key. We are able to sift and search real time and actually provide dossiers to make the right client decisions for the veracity of that bank. Thirdly, anti-money laundering. This is huge. This is about misconduct, but more than misconduct, about terrorism and about theft in the world. Watson is able to identify patterns between banks and within banks, which suggest AML scenarios and actually researches and analyzes them. And then finally, and really importantly, conduct surveillance. We're all very aware of that. This is not just a thought in trading floors. It's a thought about how people behave throughout the banks. Watson and the solution we've been building allows us to take multimodal capabilities, emails, trades, telephone conversations, HR situations, analyze those and find patterns of risky behaviors and actually stop the behavior as or before it happens versus after the fact. Again, this is huge for soundness, for trust, and for the ability of the organization to operate in a risk-managed way with sound operations control. That's the solutions that we are building to start with for the industry. And they're already having huge impact. One of our anchor clients for our surveillance solution is here with us today, Lou Rauschenberger, who runs regulation and compliance for JP Morgan. And he's going to tell you why they are so incredibly excited about what they're doing with Watson Financial Services on surveillance. We could cue the video.
Managing regulatory changes is a challenge. One great example of where it is critical to understand and address regulation is around combating market abuse. Just like most organizations, JPMorgan Chase has always been focused on this. However, most existing solutions in the market have several limitations. To begin with, they are siloed to individual domains, trade data, electronic communications, or voice. They are also primarily based on the use of predefined rules or lexicon searches, with limited analytical capabilities and high costs given the volume of information required to capture. There is a tremendous opportunity for financial services firms to transform the way we address market abuse. By combining machine learning and cognitive technologies, there is a real opportunity to significantly improve how we detect market abuse and how we more effectively connect different types of data across multiple channels. There is also a tremendous potential to go beyond trading-related issues. We've seen a much broader set of conduct concerns surface over the past year, whether it is related to sales practices, client suitability, or fiduciary responsibilities. These are all areas where we believe the same capability could be applied. While we're just getting started, we expect big results. We believe this approach will enable us to improve overall effectiveness by reducing false positives and generating new insights to help identify potential misconduct more proactively. But most importantly, we strongly believe that this has the potential to make our financial markets safer and provide trust and confidence in the fairness of markets to investors.
So I'm going to show you what Lou is describing and how it works in practice and the solution our clients are using. And what you'll see is, in the past, a compliance officer would identify what they thought was a risky or bad trade. They'd have to identify it. They'd then look through emails, through archives, through whatever data they could put their hands out, and try and figure out and build up a case to say, in fact, misconduct did occur. What you will see now is that the compliance officer can actually see that real time and can see it across multiple channels simultaneously. So let's run the demo, please.
IBM Surveillance Insight is a next-generation platform that proactively detects employee misconduct. Built on top of Watson, it leverages advanced analytic and cognitive services such as machine learning, knowledge graphs, text analytics, personality insights, and tone analyzer to identify patterns of potential misconduct. We start by monitoring the behavior of individuals to build a baseline of normal. All electronic and voice communications are analyzed to detect tone, such as fear or anger, and alerts are issued when changes are observed. Here's a profile of a trader's pattern of emotions over time, with the corresponding communications that could lead Watson to generate an alert about potential misconduct. And here's how a surveillance analyst would investigate an alert, a case of potential insider trading by Mike Cohen. We see an integrated view showing that not only were there trades made of an abnormal order size, in a suspicious sequence, and with a price change alert, but these trades were made in close proximity to another event, a communication with an insider of that company. We see that Mike received an email from someone at Seattle Pharma. Watson flags, "Hey man, I think it's going to rain here in Seattle. You better cover up before you get drenched," which is written in a way that would never have been surfaced by traditional lexicon-based approaches. Now investigating possible motivation for misconduct, we can see that Mike only received 65% of his bonus, another factor behind potential insider trading. Now let's look at how these same capabilities are being applied to broader conduct issues as well, such as sales practices and client suitability. In this example, Jason Smith is being investigated for using illegal sales techniques. Let's start with motivation. We see an email from management pushing him to get creative in selling additional services. Under risky activity, there are a number of issues. Here's a listing of suspicious logins, a number of complaints, and customer enrollment reversals. Ultimately, if financial services organizations can more accurately identify potential misconduct and do so proactively, they can dramatically reduce the risks of related financial losses, regulatory fines, and damage to their reputation, which can have an even greater impact on their long-term performance.
Hello, my name is Watson.
So, why is this so important for IBM and our investors, right? There's huge market need in this industry. As Ginny said, we serve all of the top banks and all of the top insurers in the world. We've been there for 100 years. Not only that, we've built the systems and the platforms on which they run. We've been involved in their data and their architecture. Who else would they trust to put these key technologies into their pivotal operational processes but IBM? That is an additional $1 trillion market across industries, $900 billion incremental for IBM and financial services. As well, being embedded in core processes and embedded with software is sticky, sustainable, and enduring. And finally, whether we're offering these capabilities as business process as a service where we run the process for a client, software as a process where we run the software in the cloud, or marketplace where we actually let developers tap into APIs, all of those three business models have software characteristics and the associated margin characteristics. So we are very excited about industry platforms. Now, as I said, we will run our process engines on blockchain. We're betting and heavily investing in blockchain. And Ginny said, blockchain is about trusted transactions, but it's also an engine for core business process. It does workflow. And so when you think about that, and Arvin last year launched this business for us, and you heard a lot about the experiments and the investments we're doing. What has moved and made so much progress for us in this year is, in fact, blockchain is real. It's in action, it's being implemented. 53% of our banking clients believe that within 2 years they'll be in alive blockchain networks. So we are going fast and making great progress. And to make blockchain real for enterprises and usable for enterprises, there are three capabilities which are required. And IBM is leading in all three of these capabilities. And let me take you through them. Their infrastructure, their software, and their business networks. And I really want to punch into each of these areas. Infrastructure. And I want to compare what I'm going to say to a newspaper article some of you might have read in the New York Times this weekend and just ask you to think about the facts here. IBM has the fastest and safest infrastructure and strongest security for blockchain in the industry. We run blockchain on our high security business network. That is a Z mainframe in the cloud. That's what it's on. That can run transactions at the moment. This data on the slide is actually over a month old. We've reached 10,000 a second, as Ginny said. Our competitor networks are able to run at 8 per second. Where would you put your business if you were a client? Secondly, every single bit of the Z is encrypted, and encrypted in very complex chains of cryptographies. I believe we've got the world's largest private bunch of cryptographers. And so what that means is if somebody tries to break into the Z, hack the Z, break the code, find the key, the machine simply shuts down. It disables. Okay, it is unbreakable. That is what we've built our blockchain on. So if you're going to bet your business and your network on it, as a client and as an investor, that high security business network is absolutely critical. And of course, in your minds as investors, you should be thinking this is really important new workload for Z. Second is software. We've built blockchain for business software. We have 50 APIs, such as areas like smart contracting, which allows developers and our clients to both build and maintain blockchains very quickly. And we put this on Hyperledger. Hyperledger is built by, as you know, the Linux Foundation. Ginny mentioned it, fastest growing project, 29,000 downloads, 122 members. Most importantly, this is open sourced and open governed. That means that the members control the code, right? Not as compared to some other networks where a private trust housed in Switzerland controls your code. Again, if you're a client, who would you want to have control and access the code? Members that you know, or some private secret trust in Switzerland. That's why we're betting on Hyperledger. The other thing about Hyperledger is it comes in modules, so you can protect and parse your data in a way that's appropriate for the way you want to contribute to the network. And finally, the business networks themselves, the business solutions, the business model changes that our clients are betting on for blockchain. We lead this in the world. We have 7 live networks, we have 400 client engagements, and our clients are thinking about radical changes to business models. So as Ginny mentioned, Walmart, who cares about food safety in China, 1 out of 10 people every year has a food sickness. That means you get food poisoning. 1 out of 10 because of provenance of food networks. Massive ability for health and waste to change that. Northern Trust, bringing blockchain to the world of private equity. And the one I'm so excited about this morning is CLS. Those of you that are in financial services know CLS is the world's engine for FX trade and exchange. 18 currencies around the world, and it basically provides all the processing and back office fabric. Without them, you really wouldn't be able to trade currency. And David Puth, who's the CEO, is here with me today. They are embarking on a very innovative change to their business model, expanding into some new areas, and working together with IBM to do so. So David, please come up and join me, and thank you for being here with us. Thank you.
Bridget, thank you, and IBM for having me here.
It's great to have you. So David, you play such a huge role in the financial system of the world, but sometimes your role may be unsung. So I'd like to start off with you giving a brief overview of what CLS does for the world.
Certainly. So CLS, I'm often reminded of, is probably the largest bank that many of you have never heard of. We settle over 60% of the world's global foreign exchange transactions. We operate in 18 countries. We're owned by 66 of the largest financial institutions in the world, used by 23,000 financial services companies. And you're right, so the FX market runs on CLS, and IBM has been a partner with us every step of the way.
That's great. And so you are working on a business opportunity with blockchain that you identified. Could you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, we saw a problem in the market that didn't have a clear solution. That is the netting of currencies that don't currently settle through CLS. So if you think about China and Russia, two very big currencies that are actively traded and actively used in commerce by our clients, but no safe settlement for those currencies. A very expensive solution of bilateral netting was taking place between banks and clients. No real connectivity or standardization. We saw the opportunity for a solution to provide a simple, elegant bilateral netting service to the leading financial institutions in the world, and we think that blockchain was the best way in which to execute that solution.
So I know you're very excited about it.
We are.
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah.
we're excited about the use of blockchain, and I will say our clients are tremendously excited about the idea that we can connect to them via this blockchain technology.
Yeah.
Every one of our 66 clients has a development effort. We think what we're doing for clients today is something that's truly innovative and allows them to connect in a way that's very different than they've done in traditional SWIFT-based connections.
Yeah, and I'll just ask you on that excitement, that one of the things we talked about last night again was and on Friday, I think, was the fact that you were using Hyperledger that I've just mentioned, the Hyperledger fabric and the open source is part of this, and your excitement about being part of that, because you're a founder member on Hyperledger.
Clearly, and you referenced this early, IBM and CLS, along with a number of other leading organizations in the world, were founding members of the Hyperledger Linux Foundation. And we thought, without question, this was the route that we wanted to take as a trusted source of information, a better way to go, and one where we had an active role in the development of the code.
That's great. So how's it going so far? You're in the middle of design. You've actually progressing well. You've got a concept. You've got some clients already signed up. Tell us a little bit about what you're experiencing and how it's evolving.
So in partnership with IBM and with other members of the Hyperledger Foundation, we have continued to build and develop and evolve this product. We currently have over 20 of the world's leading financial institutions, both sell side and buy side, so companies like Goldman Sachs Asset Management, companies like JP Morgan, but as well the Bank of China and Sberbank in Russia. So some very leading financial institutions on both the buy side and the sell side. We're scheduled for launch in the early part of 2018. We expect to sign up a number of additional clients along the way.
And you've worked very closely with us as you've done this. So anything you'd just add about the partnership with us on working on blockchain?
Yeah, I think it's truly critical to recognize that there are a lot of enterprise software providers out there in the space today. There's no question they have interesting and in some cases very attractive product. For CLS, given our systemic importance, given the clients where we overlap with IBM, we wanted to go with what we felt was the most trusted source, and IBM certainly, as they've been with us from the outset, as they're a leading designer of this new and very innovative technology, we chose to go with IBM and partner with IBM on this. And I'd close by saying, we look at IBM in the blockchain space in the same way that we've looked at IBM in our partnership since our beginning in 1997. IBM and blockchain today is simply the best, and we are most comfortable in working with you going forward. So thank you for that.
Thank you for that. I couldn't close on a better note, so
thank you.
Thank you so much, David. I appreciate it. So thank you. I think you heard about the power for the FX market, but you know, blockchain is not just for transactional services. It really can transform trade as well. And so I'm going to, in a minute, invite Suna Stilling from Maersk, who will actually talk about the shipping and shipping and trade digitization. As you know, Maersk is the world's largest shipper. And what Suna will tell you is that shipping hasn't changed since 1954, since the advent of container shipping. And that's because some work we've done together shows that just to ship one carton of flowers from Mombasa in Kenya to Rotterdam requires a stack of papers about this thick, which physically has to accompany the carton. And in fact, that is twice as costly as the cost of actually doing the physical shipping. So there is loads of opportunity when you think about that, about how we could change that shipping process using blockchain and simplify and make it more transparent. And over the weekend, we made an announcement with Maersk that we formed a partnership to build a platform based on blockchain, which will be about sharing and simplifying and making more real-time the data and digitizing the data for all the partners, the multiple partners who are part of that global supply chain. And the idea is to really transform this process from end to end and digitize the supply chain process. So I'm going to invite Maersk's head of growth, Suna Stilling, to the stage with me. And as he comes up, I'd like to just show you a quick clipping of how the solution will work. We've been piloting this together. It's the results of the pilots is the basis of, in fact, our partnership. And you'll see the demos out there in the break. And this will just show you what is happening with that one carton of flowers and how that one carton of flowers and its shipment would change as it comes from Mombasa. If you could roll the clip.
Firstly, using a PC or mobile device, the Kenyan farm submits a packing list that becomes visible to all participants. This action initiates a smart contract that enforces an export approval workflow. As each agency signs, the status is updated for all to see. Simultaneously, information about the inspection of the flowers, the sealing of the refrigerated container, the pickup by the trucker, and the approval from customs is communicated to the port of Mombasa, allowing them to prepare for the container. All actions relating to the documents and the physical goods are captured and shared, which documents were submitted, where the flowers are, and who is in possession of them, and the next steps in their journey.
Okay, I was so fascinated by that. Thank you, Suna, for joining us. Okay, so Suna, we obviously saw the flowers, but you, if we take a step back, have a much bigger perspective on the challenges and opportunities facing the global shipping industry. So could you just tell the audience here a little bit about what we face?
Well, absolutely, and thanks for having me. And this is not one of our vessels, just for the record, not yet at least. So, but I think, Bridget, research shows, and that's the WTO research, that shows that by reducing trade barriers, you can increase global trade by 15% and global GDP by 5%. So I think the data is certainly there. We believe that blockchain has the potential to change our industry, and as I said initially, that hasn't radically changed for many, many years. And whether we're talking about flowers or other commodities, then the entire supply chain is slowed down by the sheer complexity of point-to-point communication across a loosely coupled web of land transportation providers, freight forwarders, customs brokers, shipping agents, and so on and so forth. And as we said, things have been like this since the 1950s, and so we feel at least that it's about time. There's a technology that can help us crack this problem that we've been fighting for years, and then we are quite confident that IBM and blockchain can help us fix that issue.
And why is that? How does blockchain help solve the problem?
Well, so for trade information, blockchain technology is used for tracking the exchange of information such as bills of lading, inspection of goods, custom documents, and final receipts. You saw it a bit in the video that the system basically gives each participant end-to-end visibility and gives them the right permissions to track their part of the transaction. One very important functionality about the system is the trust that's built into the system. Each participant is validated and they're authenticated. And then we have a record that cannot be altered that records every single action in the every single transaction that passes along the way. excuse me. the solution that we are looking at building together will use blockchain to manage and track millions of containers. So we're literally talking millions of containers, which will give us an unprecedented level of transparency. It will get trust, and it will help eliminate fraud and errors. It reduces a lot of time that product is spent in transit and on shipping processes. We expect that we will reduce or improve inventory management, and as a result of that, we'll ultimately reduce waste and cost throughout the supply chain. For shippers, we believe that the solution can help reduce their trade documentation and the processing cost. We believe that will help eliminate the delays that they incur today, and also the many errors that today occurs in the physical movement of paperwork from office to office. There's also a benefit for customs authorities. We believe that the solution will help give them real-time visibility into shipments, and which in turn will help them increase the safety and the security and increase the efficiencies in connection with border inspections and clearance procedures.
So it's a real flywheel effect, because by bringing trust and transparency in the system, everybody gains.
Yes.
And so why did you choose IBM?
Well, I think first of all, you know, not only Maersk, but our industry as a whole is undergoing a tremendous transformation right now. We are two companies, and I think we've been hearing earlier today about companies that are 50 and 60 years old. We have more than 110 years of history, and a lot of that history has actually been spent with IBM. So we have a long partnership, but in addition to that, and I think we heard that in the example before, you know, we recognize your expertise as a partner. You understand our business, and then we also have a lot of respect for the way that you managed to transform your own business. We've been collaborating on a lot of different supply chain solutions in the past, and I think as a good colleague from CLS said before, we consider you the undisputed leader within the blockchain space, and that's a technology that we believe a lot in. You've done a lot of, and we saw that in your own data as well, you've done a lot of projects, and you are doing a lot of projects within the blockchain space, and we basically felt that you are best positioned in the industry to take us from a concept to reality and something we can execute on. Our industry, as a lot of other industries, are seeing a lot of experimentation with blockchain, but you're really the only ones that we feel could give us the entire end-to-end solution. You have the secure infrastructure, you have the cloud services, and then you have the technology that helps us resolve a very, very specific business problem. And we believe that we are together building the foundation of what will become very soon an industry-wide ecosystem.
How's the partnership been working so far then?
Well, I think the word awesome has been used a few times today already. So I think I'll do the understated Danish version and say that it's been, I think it's been very good.
Kind of awesome.
I think we've actually managed to achieve quite a lot in a very short time. And as late as last month, we actually had our first shipment across the Atlantic. One of our clients, Schneider Electric, we on their behalf transported on a Maersk Line vessel a shipment from the port of Rotterdam to the port of Newark. In addition to that, we've also had mandarin oranges from California, we've had pineapples from Colombia to the port of Rotterdam, and so on and so forth. And I think all of these shipments are gradually validating the solution we built together.
That's great, Sunil. So maybe just to finish, to put this in context for us, how big a deal is blockchain for your business? What impact do you think it could have over time?
It is a big deal. I think sort of the three keywords for us is efficiency, visibility, and trust, with a particular emphasis on the trust element. And I think it's very opportune that we're in a situation right now where the right technology is coming at the right time, which enables us to make this transformation. We have the Internet of Things, as we've been talking about earlier today, which is making a lot of events and a lot of data available on a number of different devices. We are seeing enhancements in big data analytics, we are seeing AI, and we are seeing cognitive, which enables us to make sense of all the data that's made available to us. And then, of course, blockchain actually ensures that we can take this data and we can believe that it's trusted data that cannot be changed by anybody along the supply chain. So yes, blockchain is a very big deal for us, and we think that the solution we are building together can potentially help save billions of dollars annually and significant reduced delays and spoilage and increase efficiencies across the supply chain. as I said initially, WTO studies estimate that by reducing trade barriers, we'll be able to increase global trade by 15% and increase global GDP by 5%. So we're talking about quite a significant potential. And I would expect, and we believe, that later this year, we will physically be tracking and shipping millions of containers to our joint ecosystem.
So going really fast together, and it seems right to go fast for such a worthy goal. So yes. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for the partnerships.
Thank you.
Thank you, Suna. So to wrap up here, as you stand back and reflect on our play and our strategy into industry platforms and on blockchain, think about that the fact that the world's operations spend is 50% on these long-tail processes, which are expertise-driven, which have not been automated, and which the top-to-bottom capabilities of our core platforms, our cloud, our blockchain, and our cognitive can actually transform for our clients. That is the strategy. Why you should care about this is that we will run this on the world's strongest infrastructure with the opportunity for mainframe to have entire new workloads. We've built software that supports blockchain and industry platforms. And finally, when you start to think about the business solutions and business networks involved in either a blockchain or a core platform solution like we talked about for financial services, it pulls all of IBM, our GBS services, our GTS services, and all our foundational software are required to make this work for our clients. So we are very excited about this. And with that, I'm going to ask a colleague of mine who's a big part of making the world work better to come up, and that is Mark van Zadelhoff, who runs our security business.